This is The Topic is Trek, episode 64, for Friday, April 17th, 2020. Coming up in this episode, a virtual visit to Set the Alpha 5? Seriously, bloopers! And have you ever wondered? All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. No Zoom required. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everyone. I am Clinton, one of your co-hosts for The Topic is Trek, back for another episode of whatever the heck this show is. But I can't do this alone because it would be very sad. So joining me, as always, first of all, is Mr. Craig Stepp.
I'm COVID-free.
Yeah, all righty. We'll be the judge of that. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
I'm still wiping down the transporter, Craig.
Ran out of Clorox. You got to replicate some more Clorox wipes.
Imagine this as an episode of Star Trek. Everyone has to do their job from their quarters.
Who's flying the ship?
It's all over. Well, you can fly it remotely because it keeps transferring engineering to the bridge and then wherever. So, yeah, you could do that. The computers can fly the ship.
And data can go anywhere. So, you know, look at that. Yeah. Well, on another note, happy belated First Contact Day.
And for that same anniversary, happy since Blew Up Mars Day.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of had a tinge on this whole First Contact Day.
Spoiler alert, sorry.
From the happiest day to the crappiest day.
I don't know. Well, we'll have to deal with them both from now on. And before we get started, there's still a little bit of time left. If you have not yet watched Star Trek Picard, well, first of all, what are you watching, listening to this show for?
you're not going anywhere. What else are you doing? Yeah.
But up until April 23rd, you can watch for free. Just sign up and use the code GIFT. We don't get anything from that code. That's a code that's just out there among the stars for everybody to use that code. So you're not like supporting the show, believe me, by using that. But use the code GIFT, G-I-F-T, and check it out if you haven't already.
Hey, if you want to thank us, you can throw us some money.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah. Shut up and take my virtual money.
All right. Yeah. Bitcoin.
Oh, wait. This is podcasting in the future. We don't need money.
Darn it.
Podcasts have evolved beyond the need for currency.
That's right.
All right. Your Quatlus can come to us.
Hey, I'll take your Latinum any day.
We are now about to go out into our stories with a segment we call Subspace Chatter.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Charlie, please. Do not interfere with the subspace chatter because Chuck is about to talk and tell us the first story, and I don't know why I'm talking like this. Please, Chuck, take us away.
Actress.
I'm getting excited about whatever you were talking about.
Actress Rosario Dawson has her eyes set upon not one, but two major universes. In an interview with Variety, she enthusiastically proclaimed, "The two universes, Star Trek and that other star thing, Star Wars,
star thing.
I get in those two, I'm telling you, man, that's it. I will just retire, and then I can just concentrate on going to school and running for office. That would be it." Wow, wish my life's ambitions were that well planned out. Rumor has it that Dawson will appear as Ahsoka Tano in season 2 of The Mandalorian, which leaves one goal to be met. But is there anyone in particular she would like to play in the Trek universe? While she stated she would be happy to be a background Romulan or Vulcan, she said her ideal role would be playing a single letter that comes between P and R. Q. That's right.
H. Oh, I was close.
Yeah, you were close. Oh. Again, quoting Dawson, I mean, it would be great because, like, then I could jump on Discovery. I could be on Picard. I just want to be with Jean-Luc Picard, said the self-proclaimed Trekkie. Wow, she's so articulate. I can't imagine Q that way.
I don't know. I feel like she's campaigning for the role, so we will see. Although it is an interesting thought. I mean, if you had a new Q, or, you know, I don't know, John DeLancey or whoever, yeah, in theory, they could pop in on Discovery and then pop in on Picard.
That they could, because they could jump around through the time. Yeah. And early on, Q did say that, you know, you can really manifest yourself in the Q continuum. He just appears as John DeLancey to us, right. But he right. could well, we be any. Oh, yeah. He was like that gaseous, glowy creature for a while, too, wasn't he?
Well, we did see some who it was Corbin Burnson. Corbin.
That guy from L.A. Law. Let's put it that way.
He okay. was he's from the Q continuum as well.
Yeah, I just don't want to go back to the continuum that like gas station in the middle of nowhere. It just was just a weird, weird thing going on there.
Yep. See that gas pump over there? I've been the gas pump.
Slow that day. Gas pump is part of the Q continuum as well.
All right. Speaking of gas pumps, there's no out from that. So let's just move on to the next story. Craig, take us away.
We gotta work all on right. the segues.
So actor Ethan Peck is ready to put on those Vulcaneers back on. In an interview with Ars Technica, the Discovery series, Spock said, "I would love to continue playing this character and being a part of this world. Sure, I am biased by now because I'm part of it, and I've drank the Kool-Aid, but there's always something religious about Star Trek. Its ideology provides a hope that people can just hold on to, just look at the community it's created. It celebrates what makes us special as human beings. It illuminates us and makes us great."
Wow, he had a good time on the cruise, didn't he?
He drank something on the cruise. Maybe he licked the handrail and
he wasn't doing a fine job singing karaoke, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's right. So far, there's been no official announcement of the Star Trek series that everybody wants as a Pike show, based on the crew of Pike's Enterprise. And with the current shutdown of TV and film productions due to the worldwide pandemic, any announcement may be delayed for an extended period of time. But I'm going to tell you something, and I've mentioned this to you guys. They keep putting stories like this out there, and Anson Mount keeps saying, "Yeah, I think we would love to do that." They don't keep putting it out there not to stir the pot. I think it's imminent.
Right. We also had that article that we talked about, I think it was last time, with Rebecca Romijn saying, "Well, you know, some Star Trek stuff, I can't really talk about that." Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
You know what else I'll say is that I've seen, ads like on, I guess, Facebook or the internet for Discovery. And there's Anson Mount's face up front. And, you know, I'm like, where's the cast of the Discovery? You know, he was a guest on the show, but they really put all of the, all of the Enterprise characters up front. So right. they're doing that on purpose.
Yeah. Well, of course, I have to go back and look. Did they put, Lorca's, Jason Isaacs face up front? Cause he was essentially the same as Pike, right?
Well, in all honesty, we didn't know if Lorca was just we thought he was part of the cast.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it made sense to see him on there, but knowing that Pike and Spock in number one are only on for one season. I mean, still today, I still see pictures of Pike up front.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that, you know, the stories like this are out there just to keep that interest going until they can announce something. And it's probably going to be hard now because whatever they were planning to do, they're probably going to have to wait another 6 months or so to do it. And you need to keep that interest alive in the meantime.
How much makes me wonder if the writers can continue to fill the backlog at this point?
You mean, can they continue to work on scripts and so forth? Or
you they're working from home too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, absolutely.
And you do need to collaborate with the other production staff, the other team. So you could do that all with a remote conference call.
Yeah, but you can't do the physical production of sets. Oh, right, you know, you can't, right. All but those things.
We could have, you know, these next four or five seasons worth of whatever it is, Section 31, Pike, Picard, Discovery, you name it. We could have a good backlog of content from this.
Right. I think it still comes down to production time, though. I mean, even if you had like three seasons of Discovery, it seems like they shoot in sequence as well, even though you could, in theory, have the productions going together. I don't think they try to overlap production too much. So you're really kind of limited by when you can turn over the next season of this thing. I think that, matter of fact, probably right now, since Discovery was probably fairly far along, when that comes back out again, that would be the leading edge of, you know, probably a continuous chain of stuff at that point. It probably would have been now, but, you know, they just couldn't get it all finished up before they had to stop. All right. Well, let's move on to our next story, which involves our friends at Paramount. Paramount has announced a new series of virtual screenings of some of their library of feature films via, now, it's via, I am hoping this is CYA.live because it's
CYA.
Because it's CYA.live. And I'm hoping it's CYA live.
Not cover your.
Yeah, exactly. One of the films will be Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan on April 25th. Each virtual screening will allow. I thought it was going to scream what CYA. Anyway. Each virtual screening will allow viewers to watch and interact via text and video with other fans, as well as special guest hosts. For the Wrath of Khan screening, you will be joined by the. My goodness, I should say, for the Wrath of. No, that's not the. Oh,
come
my
on,
goodness.
Jack, where... The Wrath of.
I'm having way too much fun on this.
I guess.
It's like pulling your own teeth, Clinton, isn't it?
And it is. Root canal time. All right. The Inglourious Trekspert podcast host, Mark A. Altman and Darren Doctorman, who will introduce the film and hold a Q&A afterwards. Admission will cost you $1.99 and can be purchased at CYA.live. I really want to know, I'm assuming it makes sense. You're like CYA.live, that works, but I think they really should have thought this through. Of course, this is not the only virtual viewing party going on these days. People are setting up such parties on a daily basis to help everyone feel connected during this time of social distancing. Now, the article that we have linked here, and you can find all the articles that we talk about over in the show notes for episode 64 over at thetopicistrek.com.
There was doubt in your mind on that one, wasn't there?
It was. I was expecting Kirk to come in on that one too. They list a bunch, but I don't know about you guys, but I'm seeing virtually every day there's another viewing party of this, that, or the other thing being announced on Facebook or wherever. And these ones are not ones that are, you know, $1.99. This is just everybody shows up and, you know, we're all going to be watching this at the same time type of thing.
Yeah. Like there's been a group on Facebook for a long time watching old B movies. Sven Gulli. I've been watching Sven Gulli since the early 80s.
I do see on See You Live. I see Tommy Boy coming up. One of my favorite movies. Chris Farley.
Oh, you can watch that in a van down by the river if you want to.
Yeah. That's right. In a van down by the river. Anyway.
Don't get him started, well, Clinton.
Let's move on in this chain because the next story is actually related.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock. But anyway, it's another story altogether.
Kirk, what do you want to do with your life? Anyway. All right. I'm stopping.
for now. Great. He left the room.
Push out the airlock again. Speaking of viewing parties, because we kind of
were.
On April 8th, the Pacific Opera Project held a live stream viewing of their Star Trek themed operas, quote, Abduction from the Seraglio. I'm going to have to punt on that one. The stream also featured interviews with the cast and interactive elements such as costume contest, drink recipes, and more. Obviously, unless you have a way of traveling back in time, you missed the live stream.
Wah, wah, wah.
I do have a
Why do we do that? It's them.
Okay. Wah, wah, wah. Obviously, I already read that. However, the production is up on the Pacific Opera Project's YouTube page. There's a link in the show notes. Just go to thetopicistrek.com and look for show notes for episode 64.
I had a chance to look at they had a couple of trailers in the article for the production. It was an elaborate one. I know that recently, Craig, you sent me, and I didn't include this in the show notes because I couldn't find the link, but a much smaller production, Star Trek related, whereas this one is really kind of a full-blown opera thing.
Are you talking about the Star Trek and drag?
Yeah, I couldn't find that link, so I couldn't include it because if the that's might as well tie that into this as well. But
yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Okay,
right beside this. So,
and this opera is an opera, so the video is 2 hours long for this production. I mean, it's an actual production. Mm.
Wow, it's legit. That's longer than the Opa Klingon style video.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit, just a little bit.
A little classier.
But not longer than why does Captain Kirk climb a mountain? That goes on forever.
Feels like it.
All right, but we want some more video content because we got nothing else to do. What do you got for us, Craig?
I have something for you.
If you've me? Seen,
for, well, really for everybody. I'm talking to the listener.
Okay.
No. So, you know, we've all seen the outtakes and the bloopers and the goofs and everything that from TNG online. And it seems like every time I've seen just about all of them, I see a couple more. Well, this guy, I happened to find it on Reddit. He had posted on the Star Trek channel, Reddit subreddit. He had posted a couple of videos where he edited back in the blooper into the official what was, you know, episode. So he took a scene where the blooper was supposed to be, would have taken place, and he edited it back in. And it was hilarious. And I couldn't help but share it with you two. And then the guy was coaxed into putting together a YouTube channel. And he's been putting up some every once in a while. So this is Ryan's edits. It's on YouTube. And he's, like I said, he's taken Star Trek bloopers to a whole new level. He's, like I said, reintegrating them back into the original episodes. And there's only 5 of them there, but it's like so much fun to watch.
Right.
They're great. Especially What's Wrong with Worf.
Yeah. the tricky part with these is that I'm sure he has certain criteria. Like you can't have like music in it that you have to figure out how do you get that music out or in, or, you know, do different things. So he probably can't do every single blooper thrown back in again, but the ones he's picked so far, it's just like if you blink, you can miss some of them. Yeah.
Pay attention.
And the bloopers he's editing in are the same quality as the episode, so it doesn't look like a fuzzy second camera off to the side that caught it, you know, or something weird like that. But they're hilarious. Go check them out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel because I'm sure he'll post some more. But they're just fun to watch. I told him on Reddit, he said something about having a full-time job and it's just when everybody was starting to stay at home. I was like, no, you quit your job. This is your full-time job now.
That's right. Entertain us.
Yeah. Entertain me, monkey. That's right. So it's worth the time to go check them out. They're short. There's 5 of them. So at least for now.
Yeah. They're only like a minute or two tops for them.
And that's about my attention span these days.
I'm sorry, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway, I tuned out the show after the first 2 minutes.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. And finally, while we were all in lockdown, some fans wondered how a similar situation would play out on Star Trek. So Star Trek producer Akiva Goldsman and other writers were asked by Vulture magazine this question, and they imagined what a quarantine episode of one of their shows would be like. Goldsmith answered with a quarantine log from Admiral Picard, and it reads in part...
Wait, didn't I just do this? Didn't I do this last week with the... We're in the Covidian system?
I don't think so.
Maybe it was on Technorama. I said world's shortest version of Star Trek. They're going to the Covidian star system, and Covidian 19 has a plague, so they just keep going. The end.
Okay. Pass this planet. Well, in a similar vein, completely differently. So this is Admiral's log. The quarantine stretches on. Essential systems continue to fail. And though many of us are used to long periods of isolation, the prohibition on physical contact, not to mention our inability to leave the ship, is beginning to wear on even the most seasoned members of the crew. Remote communications flourish. Still, I'm reminded that there is no substitute for a direct gaze or the reassurance of a friendly touch. I'm emboldened by the crew's resilience. Despite the hardships, they continue to work their stations. Productivity and routine can be an excellent balm on fear, and fear they do. How could they otherwise? The threat we face is real, with no immediate end in sight, but that does not make it endless. On the contrary, this period of darkness will end as surely as it began. Fear will fade to memory. We will survive stronger, perhaps more aware of the profound connections we have always shared. And a time will come when we once again right the ship and sail forward together into the future, that bright unknown.
My goodness, look at the time.
He was in the corner lurking. Why didn't you, Sir Patrick, why didn't you just step up to the microphone over here and actually read it and make, instead of making, anyway.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
No, it's too late. No.
You're talking to too Charlie. Late.
The interesting thing is, speaking of Sir Patrick, that he thinks that this does not want this to be a storyline for Picard. He feels like it's you know, too close to the surface and kind of like a bit uncomfortable for everybody to be with that. So we won't get a
Captain Admiral's log. We've run out of toilet paper in head number 12.
Yes.
Everybody's in their own room for each episode. You get to see what they're doing in their room.
Big screen on the bridge has like 14 images and they're all like a Zoom call.
Wasn't that what Rios Picard, was doing on
Picard,
the
unmute your mic, Picard. Picard, we kept Picard.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's what Rios was doing. He had 18 of himself in the on the ship. Zoom call.
There are so many questions about that. But anyway, so that wraps up the stories that we're going to cover, but we do have some more. Now, we only have a few this time around because it did not go that far back in the stories because I found a lot of repetition in the stories this time around. Wow. It's a big surprise because not a lot is really going on right now. So we have 12 additional stories for you to digest. And, you know, have maybe one or two a day because you have to make them last.
That's reasonable.
Until next time. And by the way, Vulcan Alberta, Canada is still closed. So we've got nothing from them. So we hope soon that they'll be back open again and we can talk more about things happening up there, including their Star Trek days, which hopefully will be coming up sometime during the summer, perhaps. Maybe. We don't know. But that brings us back from subspace chatter with an appropriate effect. A very appropriate effect. And now it's time to go out on main mission. Now, last time around, we talked about Star Trek Picard. Hey,
wait, you missed something right above it.
What did I miss?
No, well, he said that.
See, he zoned out the show as well.
Wow, Craig.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I wasn't paying attention.
I was reading it. Like the well-oiled machine that we've always been.
Wait, Clinton, you meant something.
Yeah, what did I mean? No, I think I read that. I thought I read that. I don't know. I can't remember.
Main mission.
Oh, main mission. We're going up to Maine, people.
It says, time to refill the dilithium chamber. Get out of here.
I think we're in a temporal rift.
Oh, my goodness. Hope you at home are having a good time as well. All right. So, main mission. Well, last time around, we finished up our watch of Star Trek Picard and kind of gave a wrap on things. But there were still discussion points. There were things that weren't answered. Where are things going to go from here? And we all had questions about things. And I wrote down some questions about what possibly could happen or things that will happen or why didn't this happen type of thing. For an example, we know that Raffi is definitely very much into going deep into the weeds on things to try to weed out conspiracies and, you know, what's behind that door and break through that code and those type of things. And I was speculating, what happens if she somehow finds the Discovery files? Does it matter if she finds the Discovery files? I mean, several, you know.
That would give her a bone to chew on, wouldn't it?
Yeah, what are you, like a few hundred years away from that, from the...
Well, you're over 100 years away from it. Well, yeah, I guess you're like 150-ish type of years away, I suppose.
Is it that long?
Yeah, because it's I believe it's 100 years from the first mission TOS to next gen. So then you add the time of next gen to the time of Picard, you know, add those years on to that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a couple hundred years almost.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I mean, you would have those plans. You don't have anything, you don't have anything to do anything with them, but you would find out some information. I mean, that could lead her into this whole thing, you know, about the sentient AI and all this other stuff, which, of course, throw her back into the whole AI type of thing, which would be a, you know, let's not go down that rabbit hole again, Raffi. But I don't know, would it mean anything if she came across those plans and just become like, oh, I found this. Oh, that's interesting. Let's move on to something else now.
Or just when she's swiping away on certain things, she goes, huh? You know, and then keeps going. you know, I don't know. I don't think it would make any difference. And to be honest with you, that's 200 years away behind. So you got all this data that would be more relevant towards the time of her existing. So when she's doing a search, I can't imagine it would just come up with something that's 150, 200 years old.
Right.
Maybe.
I don't know. Now, a question that I did have is the Romulans have this giant fleet. Well, the Zat Vash, right, have this humongous fleet of ships. 218 were arriving at the planet. And that's not necessarily every single ship that they have. And yet, there are still Romulans who are on that backwards planet, you know, feeling like everyone's forgotten about them and the Federation left them behind. Well, why aren't the Romulans coming to get them off of that planet or give them supplies or do? It seems very odd that you have this huge armada of ships with obviously lots of capacity in them, and yet the Romulan people just seem to be just still all over the place.
It's called CGI. Those weren't real ships.
Oh,
they were all copy and pasted.
Oh. Well, I was talking about this with Bonnie, and her feeling was that, well, the Zat Vash were really interested in one thing and one thing only, and really didn't care much about other stuff. And, you know, they had one goal, which was to wipe out, you know, to stop the coming of the AI overlords.
Which is interesting, and because now that that won't happen.
Yeah. What is that, what do they do?
What's their purpose in life? Back to farming.
Yeah. I mean, do they just become part of the Tal Shiar? Do they remain this separate thing? I also wonder, how well were they hidden within even Romulan culture? So are they like what we would often in Star Trek, depending on when you're watching Star Trek, perceive of Section 31? Like, mm-hmm. You have this massive organization that no one seems to know exists.
That's what I expect. That's what I thought it was. Yeah, at first
we hadn't really heard about it until Picard stumbled on it. So,
well, and it was mentioned that they were the, it sounded, oh crap.
Doing well.
Words aren't escaping me. Not Luna. What's her name? The Romulan that was with Picard.
Oh, anyway. Okay. The sister? Oh, the ones that, with the housekeepers.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah. She mentioned that they, the Vashat was, you know, this, the secret of the secret is what she said.
Right. Right. So,
yeah, that's what I thought. They were like, oh, there's a Section 31 kind of thing.
But now it's kind of like, hey, look at us. Hey, we're all here. You know, all of Starfleet has seen us. Woohoo. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what they have to become something else, I suppose. And if the Romulans have a fleet, and clearly the Zat Vash has this huge fleet, are they now more powerful than the Federation? You know, because the Federation, you assume, was bringing pretty much what they had as guns to bear, knowing that the other fleet was showing up. So if that's the best of our best and the best of their best, well, what has each got in addition to that?
Yeah. So, and then their flagship, I guess, that was in the thing had, a captain that had been previously retired just showed up. Yeah. Where's the best of their best?
Mothballs.
Yeah, I'm sure the real captain of that ship was really appreciative of that. And why was there no mention of the Enterprise? I thought it was odd. Would it have been better to have the Enterprise show up? And if the Enterprise wasn't there,
they were on a 5-year mission. They were doing their thing.
Oh, they're doing another one of those 5-year missions?
Maybe.
Captain Barkley had to be sent away.
I think I saw they mentioned that would kind of be answered. There's a reason why that wasn't there, and they would bring that up in season 2.
Hopefully it's not the same reason that we got for Discovery. It's like, okay, 5-year mission, we get it. But, you know, okay, I mean, really, you know?
Yeah.
Not twice. Please, not twice with that. And I was also wondering, now, what happens to the Borg that are left on Coppelius with the synths? Are they just, you know, you have 7 goes off and leaves.
Yeah.
The Borg aren't going to come and pick these guys up.
Why? They don't need to go anywhere. They got that sweet beachfront property now.
No. Yeah.
So they're going to be, you know.
It was a forest till they landed.
Yeah.
They landed in the water.
So they're sharing the planet with the synths now? I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you got androids and part androids and little cyborgs.
Well, no, the XBs aren't part android anymore. They're lost, not wayward souls. Yeah.
No, but I mean, we saw that 7 still has enough cybernetics in her to interface with the Borg.
To hook up?
Yeah.
Although that didn't look very comfortable.
No, it didn't.
Never mind. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, just plugging it in her back. Yeah, that didn't look very comfortable.
Well, it's better than having a detachable head like the other Borg Queen.
Speaking of which, not to stick in an interesting sidebar, but has anybody watched Carnival Row on Amazon Prime?
I have not.
Orlando Bloom. No. Alice Krige plays a very good character. If you haven't seen it, she wasn't that hard to spot, but she's obviously got a lot older in the last 30 years, but she's easy to spot. It's like, oh yeah. And I won't spoil it for you, but
is her head still detachable?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
Her torso. The things I could say right now, but it would spoil it.
Okay. Don't do that.
Good show.
Carnival. No, I thought you were going to bring some question about the Borg Queen in relationship to the XBs, but
no. Oh, well. And if you want to see more Alison Pill, you can watch Devs on Hulu. She doesn't cry.
Oh, it's a signature move.
She's actually more of a villainous character, and it kind of suits her better.
So do we have a feeling that since we didn't see what happened to him, and this is one of these cases to Narek, since we know that he was didn't make the final edit, that it was supposed to be placed into Starfleet custody, but that scene didn't happen. So does Narek make a good foil for Picard, or is that kind of like, okay, we're done with that. We don't need to turn him into a recurring character type of thing.
Well, that's kind of where I think they fell off. I mean, things kind of fell off a little bit. Cause I was like, there need to be some repercussion or something happened to him. Cause you know, he was kind of, sort of an, I guess, partly an antagonist the whole season up until the last. And it's like, oh, he's just not there anymore.
So I kind of think it was like, you know, the Dr. Smith of this. And we can say, oh, look, he's up here again. Oh, goodness gracious. Goodness. You know, just kind of like popping up here and there and just as an annoyance or something.
Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain.
Yeah. I think they said that since they didn't finish him off, but nothing really happened to him. I think we may see him again in season two.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't expect him to play as major of a role.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were talking about the Romulans earlier, and I was wondering, okay, so we found out that essentially the Romulans bombed Mars.
Yep.
I would think there'd be more coming out of that.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
You know what that means? We can't deliver Admiral Xerox's message to his daughter yet. Gotta keep waiting. No, there will be no peace. And I think that just gives us more fuel for the whole we hate the Romulans thing, which just goes from TOS. I mean, it's through the whole timeline at this point.
Yeah.
It's not like the Klingons like, oh, hey, we made peace and, you know, we got them on a part of our crew. If we get rid of the Romulans, then who's the next enemy?
Right. Well, we don't really know, though, the deal with the Klingons at this point, do we? Because we didn't see them at all.
Yeah.
In this.
I mean, oh, well, yeah, since, yeah, see, we I really haven't heard much from them since TNG, but they were on our side. They came to our aid a few times.
And you have to think, you know, the Romulan home planet is destroyed. They go, hey, this would be a good time to kind of like invade or something. I'm just saying, you know, that'd be good.
Invade so, what? You talking about the Romulans invade?
Invade their...
Invade Klingon space? Invade Federation space? Whatever. They got a whole bunch of ships.
Yeah.
They just kind of move the neutral zone a few more light years over.
Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to see Worf speaking to the Klingons next season.
Yeah, I just don't want them to be isolated. I mean, this story felt very isolated to, you know, Picard's specific mission, and rightly so, perhaps. But I feel like we didn't see a lot of the bigger Trek universe, and the fact that they're not really Federation, they're mercenaries or, you know, for hire, whatever it is that they are now. That what are we going to see? Who are they going to interact with? What?
Andorians.
Tellarites.
Tribbles.
They're going to Space Tribbles. Station K7.
Yeah, I got to finish that cleanup job that somebody left unfinished.
No one ever came back to check on Cyrano Jones.
The wheat is back.
The wrath of Cyrano. My good friend, my dear friend, I will kill you now.
This is Space Station K7.
Space Station K8 exploded.
Allow me to introduce you to the only indigenous species on K7, the triple.
Oh, indigenous. Within an hour, they are the indigenous species. There you go.
That's right. Except for that one there. Anyway.
We've heard worse storylines, people.
We have. And then we have the question of, all right, Patrick Stewart has invited Guinan, well, invited Whoopi Goldberg, but sent Guinan to be on season two of Picard. Wonder what that means.
It means Rafi's going to have a bartender.
I see.
That's a natural fit. I mean, Rafi always wanted a drink, so who better to serve it to her?
I think Guinan is enabling? Working as a car mechanic now.
What?
Guinan car mechanic? What?
Yeah, she's a starship mechanic now. She's just mixing it up. You know, she's got her little shop. Who's, you know, bartender at one point, and I work on spaceships now. I don't know.
I think, what, was she reading Zen in there? Zen and the Art of Starship Repair? I mean, exactly. What? I don't know what's going on with that.
I have a feeling that Guinan's has had several lives.
To be a good mechanic, you have to be a good listener.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that Guinan would want to be an enabler. You know, it's like, oh, Rafi, that glass looks a little empty. Want me to fill that up for you?
Go look at what she told, Geordi in the.
Well, in the blooper, I mean, well, that's
an enabler, right?
Kids, don't try that at home or anywhere else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so at this point, I think that's all the outstanding questions that I had as far as Star Trek Picard goes. I don't know. Is there anything that when it was all over and they rolled those credits, was there any final thoughts you had about, they're going to do this next, or are they going to take care of that? Or, okay, one other random thought in that example is, so we're going to deal with the fact that Sung and Girardi basically created immortality for humanity? And
yes.
How's that going to get doled out?
It's not the first time a person's been put into a droid body.
No, it is not. But it seems like it's something they're just able to do with extreme efficiency down to, you know, we can customize it any way you want to as far as the way you look. And, you know, you can have an expiration date, you know, if you want or not, I guess. You know, it sounds like that's the list of options you can have on the little checklist. Well, let me talk to my manager about, you know, what this is going to cost you type of thing.
Upgrades. They got to upsell.
And what do they call it? An altered carbon on Netflix? Sleeves?
Sleeves. Take your stack and put it in a new sleeve.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that would be a much bigger thing, you know, that...
I'm sure it is. And I think that Alex Kurtzman did say that was going to be kind of a fallout issue.
Season two. Opened up a whole Pandora's box of storyline. There's a lot of loose ends they could tie into in this show.
Because I'm also wondering if what happens if, you know, all of a sudden Picard starts breaking down, you know, that leg doesn't work anymore.
My ear fell off.
Oh, this is all hard. Maybe that's Girardi's mission now. It's like she'll be doing, you know, well, I got some Bondo here and don't worry about it. We'll get you fixed up.
Maybe that's
putting
what
on the wrist. They've got you put on the wrist.
Well, if you watch the beginning of the show, he's got that piece that he's got to put back on his face.
See, it all comes together there. All right. But with that, we are going to come back from our main mission because our questions have all been answered except the ones we didn't think of asking. And probably they're not going to use any of this when we get around to season two of Picard. Yeah. All righty.
We need a sound effect. You got one.
Yeah. Was that somebody just whistling or was that a... That is pretty
Scotty. Scotty's can you tune up the whistle?
Scotty's bagpipes.
Yeah.
Can you give us any more? All right. For a Warp Speed Roundtable, and this is also about Picard, we're asking the question, what bonus skill do you wish Picard had been given? As you know, he's now inside of an android body. Too bad we're not ringing spoiler alert. It's been quite a long time since Picard premiered in the internet and you're home all day long, you've probably seen everything. All right. So given that, And clearly, as we just talked about, there was customization involved about what he had and didn't have. What bonus skill do you wish he had? Now, I put this question out on Facebook, and I did get one answer back from Gary Lindros, and he replied cryptically, life.
I want to be a real boy.
I think he kind of did get that, didn't he?
Well, I'm wondering, we don't have Gary here to explain himself at the moment, although we can, Gary. We can have him on. So I'm thinking that he felt like this wasn't life. This is the imitation thereof. I'm not sure. So Gary, we know you're listening. We know you're listening. Explain yourself for next time. All right. I'm going to go around and ask everybody, what bonus skill do you wish Picard had been given? And I will start with Chuck.
No.
I guess he doesn't have anything. There's your answer.
Sometimes the double table ends up that way. Sorry.
Double again.
Welcome to, and it's on Chuck.
Welcome to Eeyore's bar. Bonus, huh? Bonus skill. Night vision.
Night vision. Just cause? Or
why not? It's a cool thing.
Well, I think night vision is a good thing to have in space.
And it's reasonable.
Because it's very dark.
Yeah, because, you know? I mean, he's already in a spaceship, so the power of flight really doesn't do you much good. Super strength. He said he didn't want a super strength.
Right.
Yeah,
that's an option they did not give him. Right.
Wouldn't be very stealthy if you could glow in the dark or something like that. So I'm going with night vision.
Okay. I'll go next. And I'm going to be very serious about this. And I'm going to say the ability to self-replicate Earl Grey tea hot.
He just holds out his mug and it fills up.
Yep. That's his bonus skill. It's like a little food synthesizer that he's got in his palm of his hand. So he puts the cup in his hand and boom, there you go.
Oh, could he go back to regular, or is he going to stick with decaf?
Ooh, well,
he's got a new liver.
Yeah, but it depends, right?
On got a new liver.
He's got to do everything.
Don't we wish we were all so lucky at this age?
Yeah. I'd rather be a good liver than have one. But anyway, I think he wants to pretend, I guess, might be the word again. This is maybe even to Gary's point, pretend that it's still him. So whatever he was doing, if you change everything you were doing because you've got this different body, then you're really recognizing and acknowledging and kind of dealing with the fact that that isn't you, right?
Okay, so what, is he going to bring back some of his old skills like salsa dancing or something?
Yeah, he'll take up the flute again and, you know, that type of thing. I don't know. He can play a lot faster now, maybe. Maybe he can play the flute really, 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 really fast.
Flight of the Bumblebee on his little flute.
Yeah.
Without his android spleen flying out of his body. All right. What about you, Craig? What bonus skill do you wish Picard had been given?
I wish he had been given 2 bionic legs, a bionic arm, and an eye.
You wanted to be the $6 million Picard?
And then yes, he would be Borg again. Wait. If he's got a new android body, does that mean he has no more android implants? And no more Borg implants?
I would assume so, because you wouldn't transfer that stuff.
He is finally Borg free. He would not hear any voices or anything else.
He would still have his memories of it, though. So if he's hearing some of these, if he's hearing these voices because that's what's in his head.
Oh, I thought he was tuning into Borg TV or something. No,
Borg all the time.
Remember, he had his duranium heart, and so he doesn't have that anymore.
He doesn't have to go back to that. Yeah, he's got it. Mm-hmm. He's got a better heart.
Right, he's the Tony Stark of Picard's.
Well, define better,
faster, stronger. According to you with your $6 million Picard.
Yeah, but everything he does is in slow motion.
But also, there's no money, so how could he be the $6 million Picard?
Ah, the 6 million Latinum Picard.
So that leads to my prediction for season 2 is he's going to fight Sasquatch.
Go. Okay, you're pulling this analogy far too far.
Where? What? No. He's going to jump a shark or something.
My Google Home was not sure about that answer either. Just said, I'm not sure about that. So, yes, I agree.
Admiral Oscar Goldman's going to call up.
Oh, my.
You can tell I watched too much $6 Million Man.
We kind of get that hint.
Hey, Data could play Maskatron. I keep going, and I'm not.
Yikes.
There is no more Data.
Oh,
that's right. Damn. They pulled out his isolinear chips.
Mm. They did a HAL on him. It was very odd that seemed very much reminiscent of pulling the memory chips on HAL.
Why three? Why did it take three of those HDMI?
There are four chips.
Why did it take three fire sticks to light them up or something? It looked like an HDMI interface to me, so I don't know.
Hey, I can get smaller SD cards on Amazon.
You put Data in upside down. No, it could go either way. This doesn't matter.
When you put them in this way, he's in Australia.
The toilets go the opposite way.
That's the only thing Craig thinks he knows about Australia. That's really funny.
Hey, when we were at dinner with these as an Australian couple on the ship, on the cruise, I remember going, I stopped there because I knew Chuck was going to hear me ask. I said, I got to ask you this question.
Oh, dear me. Oh.
And I went, oh, God,
what did you ask?
He asked the toilet question.
Oh.
I knew he was going to hear me ask that question. That's why I asked it.
Yeah. Food.
And they said,
face right
can
in
we
the
have
soup.
A different seating next time, please? I just can't. Man won't go away.
Sorry, I'm making myself laugh. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
I've been cooped up in this house for too long. Get me out of here.
Craig, you've been for crying out loud. What are you talking
and
about?
And you've been laughing at yourself for the last 15 years that I've known you, so don't blame it on this virus thing.
You know what? I think it's longer than that, but yes.
Hey. All right. Well, on that bizarre note, it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and try to warp on out of here. Although apparently we can't warp anywhere. We have to like warp in place. Well, so
a car
I don't...
could run really fast. But...
He could, but he just, you know.
Speak for yourself. I have warp capability.
Yeah. Where are you going to go? None of the space stations are open.
I get to the refrigerator real fast.
Oh, I see. I see. All right. Well, you can find me, Clinton, at Comedy Forecast, and that's all one word with the number 4.com. where I host the Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4 podcast. Matter of fact, in April, I'm doing a podcast today, and we've got our main story going called Main Street Undermined. It's a rousing 20-part story that we're halfway through at this point, but you can catch up on the old episodes. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook and MeWe and Instagram and your local, I don't know, dog you find in the park. He's got a little sticker on. I have no idea anymore. You can find me every place at Comedy Forecast. All right. Who speaks for you guys this week?
Go ahead,
Chuck, because I'll just make a joke about it.
Well, that's kind of what the podcast is all about. Technorama podcast. You can find that over at chuckchat.com. Or we took out this big ad in the movie theater. Go see it there.
I heard about that. That was awesome.
And we've even got a Disney deal in one of their parks for a couple of weeks.
See, that's smart. I got the Universal park, so you had to go there. So yeah.
Best money we never spent. So, right. Chuckchat.com. It's called Technorama Podcast. You can Google it and it'll find it for you.
Oh, Google. Oh, magical Google. All right. So it's time to hit the theme, boys.
This one.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Does the music end?
No.
Sorry.
I faded it down so we could hear you.
Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. On behalf of myself, Chuck and Craig, I'm Clinton. Thanking you for listening. As we always say here on The Topic is Trek.
Don't put up. You going to join me in this? Don't
push
put
the outro.
Run, $6 million man, run.
The other guy stepped back a step, and I'm left here putting on the red shirt.
Don't put on the red shirt.